This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Oh Lord, thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you, Lord, that in you and through you, if we surrender, you become alive. You become life within us. I just feel I have a word for somebody here this morning, as maybe for the congregation even. But you know, if you look at all the pictures that's been taken this last couple of weeks, in terms of rain falling, you'll see that many of the fields have grown this green, lush. If you drive down towards Okohanya, in the other parts, you see the yellow, the flowers. Everything just stands up, and it's so amazing. It's so wow. But I sense the Lord saying this morning, you know, that many of those green that you see is a deceiving green and yellow. Because those are thorns that in some way, as the green disappears, the thorns will come out and it will hurt you. But I sense God saying, hey, return to the potter's house. Return to the potter's house. And he gave me Jeremiah 18, verse 5. It says, then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this pot has done? Declares the Lord, behold, like the day of the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. O house of Israel, if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intend to do to it. And if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will relent of the good that I had intended to do to it. Now therefore, say to the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, behold, I am shaping disaster against you and devising a plan against you. Return, everyone, from his evil way, and amend your way and your deeds. I don't want you to feel that this is a condemning word this morning, but I just want you to feel drawn into this openness by God, by the Spirit this morning, saying, hey, I don't want you to stand alone, but I want to shape you. I want to work through you. And I can only do that if you return to my house. If you return to my house. Holy Spirit, just take our hand this morning and allow our hearts to be open to receive your word, to receive who you are. Help us to surrender to that point of no return, to give everything and nothing less. Lord, we trust for your hand upon this sermon this morning. Upon this meeting time this morning, upon this resting time this morning. Come have your way in us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, band. Can I just get the headset on? Perfect.
Thank you. Right, can everybody hear me? Is that right? Everybody hear me?
Yes, that's better. Okay, good morning everyone, and welcome back to those we haven't seen in a while, all the new faces. It's such a joyful moment this morning and such a joyful morning. I see on Facebook everybody's active and everybody's running around and cycling and doing all the good things for this 2020. And for those of you joining us for the first time, we're just super excited. And Bertie said I must just remind you guys of what the Activation Sunday is. So Activation Sunday is, we do it every year, and we trust that God will come through and just really, revitalize us, but open our minds to something new. So Activation Sunday is, say, listen, up to now we've all been going to church, but activating something in myself through our community to serve, become part, celebrate, be joyful among one another. This is the start of a new year. We've heard the message of 2020. Everybody's speaking about 2020. The vision is going to be a different year. How do you approach it? And so we just want to invite you to join us for that Sunday and every other Sunday as well after that and before that, so that we can all celebrate and be joyous in the Lord. So it's my privilege. Those of you that don't know me, my name is JP. I signed the lease for this building and take the responsibility for this church on a bigger scale. But this morning is not about me. We come together for the main reason, because we all want to celebrate and be joyous in Christ. And the word says that we should be doers of the word and not just hearers. So I hope that I can challenge you this morning with a few small details. And last week, we had the three P's. It was promise, presence, and pursuit. Easy to remember. So this week, I thought I'd join Sus in the band, and as she is playing the chord of C, we're going to continue on that theme this morning of discussing the three C's for 2020. So it's 2020 Vision for 2020 Part 2. And here's the thing. This whole week, I had the privilege of walking or cycling on the farm, Windhoek, and just being in nature. And then you drive on the streets and you see, hey, here's another guy, maybe like 4 or 5 in the afternoon. And this person is running, but you can definitely see it's a 2020, a New Year's resolution. So they've got the kit. Everybody went to Mr. Price Sport, kitted out completely and everything, it can be visible. And they are in this journey. They're gonna run with it. It's not just another thing. They are fully into it. And I'm excited to see it. And even myself, I had to challenge myself also to that point. Let me just extend this. So I keep... I keep challenging. I need to challenge myself as well to be in a different mindset for this year, because looking back at last year and thinking, hey, did everything that I wanted to do come to pass? Did I succeed in what I wanted to do, the goals that I set out? And looking back at it, I said, I missed a couple of things. In the beginning, I was like full steam ahead. You know, it's like a steam train being filled for the first time with all coal and stuff. You know, when a thing gets going, you don't stop it. But at some stage, if you don't continue to feel that, you're gonna run out of steam, and the engine's gonna start dying down. And that many a time happens to New Year's resolutions. December 31st, we pack everything in the bag. January 1st, we take that bag and we drop it, and we look forward and we say, new year, new things. And then comes February, when January the 55th has passed by. So we get to February 1st and it's like, I wanted to do that. I haven't done it. So I'll extend it till March. No, let's do it June. Let's give it another goal of June. And I'm the same. I also have New Year's goals and visions that I'd like to run through and get to that place of saying, Lord, we're going to journey with you on this one. But somewhere along the line, I keep forgetting to fuel this thing. And it starts to die off. And here's the thing. There's certain things in my life that I need to strip away and let go in order to maintain this vision. And we're going to look at that. So can the Word help us in this? Absolutely. So if you've got your Bibles, please let's go to Joshua 5. Andy Stanley has a saying, you need to clarify the win. The 7 practices of effective ministry. And the number one thing is always clarify the win. What do you see right at the end that is a win for you? If you put goals and objectives in front of you, you've got to work towards them. But you've got to have to understand what the win is in order to move on to the next thing, to be effective. So Joshua 5 verse 2, we have it on the board there, and it says, at that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the sons of Israel a second time. Right. So two things happen in this chapter. The one is a ritual being renewed, and the other one is a divine encounter. And the reinstitution of this covenant, of the circumcision, is specifically because Israel has gone through this 40-year journey in the wilderness. Many of the original fathers have passed away during this time. And now they stand at the beginning of going into war with the whole of the promised land, which God already gave them in their hand. But one thing needs to happen in order for Israel to understand who they are. Because when they crossed the river, you remember in the previous sermon, it said that an Israel became a nation. Right? And the nation. So God went from being, or took them from being people to making them a nation. Now we sit with the same situation, is that in order for this covenantal relationship to continue, in the old days, in Old Testament, circumcision was the only way to truly illustrate this. And if you look at all the other nations, only one or two of them did circumcision, but not to this extent and not with the same purpose as what is happening here with Israel. For Israel, circumcision is a covenant relationship. And this was important because God reinstituted this one with Israel, making them understand, you know what, I've taken you into the promised land, and this is the reason why we're going to do this, so that my relationship with you will continue. And this is not just a relationship, this is a privilege. The God of the universe, the God that created everything, and in this time, everybody knew about the God of Israel. And this is what set the nation apart from the rest of the world. This specific institution, reinstating the circumcision. But you see, today we don't do that anymore. Today, our circumcision, or our reminder of the relationship we have with Christ, is a different thing. Anybody want to guess? Arnoldi say by heart. Amen. Baptism. That is our new institutional reminder of our covenant relationship with Christ. Privileged. Colossians 2 verse 11 and 12 says, in him also you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith, in the power working of God, who raised him from the dead. So as you can guess, the first point for this morning is circumcision. First C. We got two more to go, and I'm going to try and keep it short so that we have enough time at the end for something very special that I'm trusting the Spirit for this morning. So circumcision today is baptism for us. You know, stepping into the place of saying, Lord, I publicly declare that I know what you have going through. Or not know, I agree with what you are going through. And I'm publicly declaring and showing others around me, I'm doing the same. I'm letting the old behind and I'm standing up as a new. Christ was buried, he was circumcised, he was taken away, cut off, and then was raised again from the dead. But how do we make it practical? For us, we need to look in our own hearts and in our own lives and saying, Lord, what do I need to circumcise for this year in order to maintain my 2020 vision with you? In order for the Spirit to be allowed in and around me to maintain 2020 vision. You all with me? Okay, don't be so quiet, please. It's going to be a long morning. We need to ask ourselves, what is stealing our time? Circumcising means cutting away. So what is stealing our time? Is it television? Those with the love of sport and love the sport and watching it? Is it work? Is it social life? Social media? Hobbies? Etc. What is stealing my time with the Lord? If I continue too late at night, it's difficult to stand up in the morning. If I do stand up in the morning and I just spend my 5 minutes, am I dedicated enough to continue throughout the whole day to be in that place and that mindset of, Lord, renew, renew, renew. What do I have to do different? And I think it's a good exercise for us to start with in 2020, in this beginning of the year. Do it as early as possible. Because in this time and through this time, we will find our rest, just as Israel did. Because, you know, they were extremely excited. After 40 years, they had the privilege of stepping into the promised land. But they did not just step into the promised land. There was one the key things that happened. They went through the presence of the Lord. Because the dried land where the river parted, God's presence rested there. Okay? So they could walk through that. And that excitement, that what they had in there of a new promised land was like, wow. Lord, this is easy to do. You want me to circumcise? Let's do it. And all the young men had to be circumcised. And it wasn't just left there. They, after it was done, they rested at that place. They recovered. So for us to hold on to the promises of what God has given us, either in the beginning of this year, or the things that we have written down from the beginning, we need to go back to the place and say, listen, what is hindering our sight, our line of sight, in order to hold on to this promise? And again, like I said, with circumcision comes rest. And it allows us to be in that place of saying, Lord, what else do I need to strip away? What is there that I truly... Because the rest of the Lord, when we spend time with the rest of the Lord, that brings a new mindset, a new way of thinking, a new way of doing. How do we do this practically? You sit down and you read the word. You make time for that. You listen to the worship music that is freely available to all of us. I was just again this morning so amped up and wowed again by this one song that we're going to do right at the end. And I woke up just after 4 o'clock and I contemplated, are we going to get up now, maybe a bit later? And I got up, and as I sat there at my computer and played the YouTube video, every 2 seconds this video would stop automatically. I'm like, not 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm ready, Lord. I want to do this. And I thought, okay, well, PC, you playing around. I'm not gonna deal with you this morning. I'm just gonna move over to a different thing. And at the moment that I found my headsets and earphones and started playing the music from my phone, things just started running smoothly. And new words came to life. Because what I heard was promises of God's word, sang in a lyric that excited me. Is it about the lyric? No. It's about allowing myself to step into that place and saying, Lord, come and form me in your hand. This morning, I want to be there. But do we do it just this morning? Is it just for this Sunday? Because we're all excited here this morning, eh? We're all here, we came, and you might not have been excited at 7 o'clock or 5 o'clock when you woke up. But now that you are here, you see the new faces or familiar faces again around you. We get excited about the things of the Lord. I tell you, I just want to hug everyone and say, hey, oh, man, 2020, I love you guys. So as I said, with circumcision comes rest, and that's where we need to find it. We need to wake up in that place of saying, Lord, let me just rest in you this morning before I continue. And I'll tell you what happened after this, because there's a significant thing that happened when the Israelites came to the promised land. In Joshua 5, verse 8 to 9 says, when the circumcision of the whole nation was finished, they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. Okay, so Gilgal as a verb in the Hebrew means to roll. And as a noun, it is very much the same as a wheel. Yes, as a noun, it's a wheel. As a verb, it's to roll away. So what did God come and do here? He said, all right, through this reinstitution of my privileged covenant with you, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to strip away the title and the identity that Egypt, that the Egyptians placed on you. Because back then, you were my people. You were there, but you forgot who you were. And through rolling away or stripping or cutting away, God, in a sense, restored the identity of Israel to the nation that they were in that time. And so God wants to come and do it with us. Maybe we have all, some of us has gone through the baptism. We have gone through this whole movement of attending church, being here, fellowshipping, community. But at some point, we get to this place of saying, how do I move forward from here? Because it feels like I'm at a deadlock. But what is that deadlock? It's our circumstances, our way of thinking. And through everything, we still know that God is there. We still honor Him. We still glorify Him. But we seek a way through this. And that's what the enemy wants to come and do with us. He says, hey, your circumstances dictate the identity that you carry. Not the other way around. Not saying, hey, this is me. I'm JP. My identity is not in my financial situation or my work or my friends that I have. But my identity is in Christ who saved me. In Christ whom I have taken as my Savior, my personal Savior. I've made a conscious decision and He is my identity. Imitate me as I imitate Christ, says Paul. That's where we need to go. But Israel did not rest, each in their own little corner. When we talk about the first thing that we need to do is just stripping away. And that is where we need to start. We need to see what we need to strip away, what we need to cut away. But the second part of it, which was so the God encounter, the divine moment that happened there, was that Israel rested in the community of fellow believers. Just as we do here this morning, we come to rest with fellow believers in the presence of the Lord. You see, they all went through the same thing. They all went through the trials and the difficulty with Egypt. And they were all covered in the same identity. Their dependence was based on the circumstances and the situation. They wanted to go back many a time because that was what they were familiar with. That was what they were familiar with. But that's not how it worked. Because God wants to take us out of this to remind us again. Say, hey, you are not dictated by your circumstances. I am your identity. I am the true vine. Okay? As Sarah said this morning, you know, refreshing water that God wants to give us just to revitalize us. Isn't it after you're thirsty and you take that glass of water, it's like, wow. It's God's heart this morning to take each one of us to that place again. We need that divine encounter to remind it again of who we are in Christ. And who our community is. Because we all share the same. Our circumstances might be different, but we all share the same difficulty at some stage. Joshua 5 verse 10 to 12 says, while the people of Israel were encamped at Gilgal, they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month in the evening on the plains of Jericho. Hang on to that word, plains. Oh, I love it. And the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes, and parched again. And the manna ceased the day after they ate of the produce of the land, and there was no longer manna for the people of Israel, but they ate the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Who can remember what Joshua said right in the beginning when he walked back, or they went to scout the promised land? And he went back, and these 10 of the 12 just said, uh-oh, there's two big giants, 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 giants the whole time. But what did Joshua and Caleb say? They said, no. There was giant fruit on the plains of Jericho. There was giant fruit. What is God giving us? That divine encounter is there for us to take. And the Passover celebrated Israel's deliverance from the judgment of the Egyptians. And there was a memorial institution by the Lord when, while they were still in Egypt. And the reason for the Passover started there. It's passing over the doorposts with the blood of the lamb, an unblemished lamb. You with me? Exodus 12. 12, verse 12 to 18. And that night, an angel of the Lord that night came and passed over all the houses that had blood on the doorpost, and those without it suffered consequences of judgment, God's judgment. He took the firstborn of all the Egyptians, and Israel was released. And from then on, every month, they had this feast as a reminder of the transition from slave to free. Though they weren't free in the wilderness, they were free. They just had to be reminded of it again. So transition happening. Then they went through the wilderness and they got to the Red Sea. Or they started running away from the Egyptians, they got to the Red Sea. Another Passover of parting the Red Sea. And the whole of Israel could pass. And again, if you didn't have the blood of the unblemished lamb, in a sense, the blood of the unblemished lamb, if you weren't part of Israel, what happened to you? You had to swim. And sorry for the Egyptians, there was no oxygen tanks and stuff that time. They were all wiped away. The mighty waters of the sea that God intended just struck them down. See the importance of this transition and this Passover, and this thing of going from cutting away and continuing with the relationship we have with Christ. And that's why the second point is so important, community. Circumcision, community. As being part of your community helps you transition to a better place. So when we become born again, we transition from the old to the new. And we get to eat from the new land. So here's the thing. With the manna, it's as if God sustained us in our previous life. You know, He just kept us going, put us through the trials and the difficult times until that day when we become born again. When we realize, but Lord, there's more in my life than what I've experienced. So now I give my heart to the Lord, and what happens? I experience new joy, new pleasures, new things. It's not always old stuff, the difficult, the suffering doesn't go away, but it helps us build character. It helps us produce something new. So when we become born again, the same happens. It's as if God sustained us in our previous life and then get to the new place, and He gives us the open plains. Because He opens our lives and our eyes to not just the casket we can see for some of us at 80, some at 90, some at 100, some as young as 20, 30, 40. God opens our eyes not to see the death that we face in our physical, but enlightens our hearts to the plains of eternal fruit with Him in heaven. Are you with me? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yakwe had a saying way back when I got saved. It was one of the very first sermons, and I remember nothing about the sermon, but I remember this one quote, and I want you to read it with me, and I want you to take it in with me. It says, "We find our identity in solitude with Christ, but we find our purpose in the community of Christ." We find our identity in solitude with Christ. Now be very careful that this doesn't become isolation. Many people say that, you know, I need to take a step back from church, from community, so that I can find the Lord. Be careful about that, because you can be easily deceived between isolation and solitude. Isolation is being drawn out of the community, where solitude is your willful choice to say, "Lord, I make dedicated time for You." So be careful that you don't miss or confuse the two. And purpose. If it wasn't for my community, my calling in the Lord will never have happened. Because if I hear myself think to myself, and be with myself all the time, I'm going to believe myself. But if I have somebody around me that I'm accountable to, say, hey, you need to, you can't say that or you can't hear that. You've heard wrong. I think you should go back and listen again. Let's pray about it together. That's the thing about community. We pray together. We stand together. We celebrate. We rejoice. We cry together. Eh? This year we're going to cry a lot. Amen to that. But we're also going to celebrate a lot. Amen to that. Eh? So the third point for today. None of our circumcision, none of our community can happen without the next point. And the last point for this morning is commitment. Circumcision, community, commitment. If you're committed to grow, to serve, to connect, or to make a change, you need to make a change, or you need to be committed to that. If you are not committed to that, the journey of growing, of serving, will leave you dry. From my life, my transition from the old to the new was the most important thing in my life. Being part of that community allowed me to grow, allowed me to serve, to discover true purpose, true potential within safe boundaries. It's sometimes very hard to sit next to the person you love and you're comfortable with, to hear from them that, hey, you need to get your act straight, or you need to do things differently. But it's sometimes the best place. It's always the best place to be. Truth and honesty. So yesterday, my son came to me and he said, listen, Dad, we were sitting in the swimming pool, and he said, I don't think I can swim. Because a day before, and those of you with boys will agree with me that the front skin of a toenail, of a toe, of your big toe, is one of the things that comes off the easiest. I see the journey of commitment and community very much the same. You see, if we retract into some form of isolation, it's very much the same as eating your toe on the pavement. A piece of skin will come off, and those of you with stomachs, deal with it. We've got a doctor in the house, so he'll sort you out. So deal with it. So a piece of skin comes off, and so what's the first thing that we want to do? We put it back, and we plaster it. So we put a bit of thing on it. And in some cases, if it's not too far or too big, that the piece that's taken off, it grows back. It becomes part. But in 99% of the cases, you sit with, clink. Huh? And then your son comes to you and says, I cannot walk. I've got an extra piece of skin that's running with me. So, if you do not commit, and hear my heart in this, I'm not saying that, but just hear my heart. If you do not commit to the body of Christ, if you find yourself in total isolation outside of church, this is what's going to happen to you. At some point, you're going to be cut off with nail clippers, or scissors, or a very sharp knife. But in some cases, even a blunt knife, it's just going to be ripped off. Ah, see, I got the first victim here today, this morning. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so listen up. I'm just trying to make a point and an illustration. That skin goes dead. You might not feel when it's been cut off. You will not feel when you are cut off from your community and your involvement in that. And that's not because of the community that's cutting you off. It's because you've grown dead to be part of the body of Christ. You're with me. You understand what I'm trying to say? Am I talking nonsense? Just raise your hand. We can have the discussion. I'm always open. I'm open for this. So let me finish up. I'm talking a lot. It's important for us to draw people in. But you cannot draw people in if you yourself aren't in there yet or in that at that moment. You cannot draw people in from the side. I've seen many people. I've been in contact with many people that says, hey, church, the most important thing. So when you talk to them on a Sunday or during the week and say, listen, we've got this gathering or that. No, I do church at my house. You know, I watch the morning videos. I've got the YouTube church. Be very careful for that. Because you become isolated. And purpose, we find in community. But if you want to take somebody through that, if you want somebody to get excited about community, if you want somebody to commit to community, you yourself have to set the example. Because if we stand on the sidelines and say, hey, it's the same as me preaching. If I haven't gone through what I'm saying to you here this morning, I'm just giving a bit of an empty glass message here. A feel-good thing for you all. But my heart is that we journey together because I commit to the body of Christ. And please don't come with the saying that, you know, we are all part of the body of Christ. Okay? I might be a little bow tie that I'm put here in the hair and being taken out at some stage. No. You're either a hand or a foot or an eye or an ear, or you become part because you slot in. You have a purpose and you commit to that. You commit to that. That's the exciting part. That commitment brings us in that place of getting closer to God as a community, as a nation. It draws us closer. Joshua, if it wasn't for his commitment and God using him mightily, maybe Israel wouldn't have crossed would have taken longer to cross the Jordan River. But because of his commitment, because of his excitement, because of his heart for the Lord and the community that he was in, understanding them, it was easy for him to take that role as leadership. And that's how you draw people in. Because you take the first step and you say, hey, follow me. Let's take this together. Come alongside me and let's walk together. Why are we scared for commitment? We are scared because we don't want to embrace the unseen. Do you think the disciples of Jesus would have embarked on their journey on the boat if they knew what waited for them in the middle of the night? A storm? No. But we want to dictate to the Lord, say, Lord, I want to see first. Then I will follow. Commitment is not that. Commitment is saying, Lord, I'm willing to follow even though I do not see. Okay? I'm okay with following your lead because that's what 2020 vision is. It's seeing something at 20 feet, at 20 little inches or something like that. I don't have the full terms. But we get different other visions. There's 2010, 26, 20 this, 20 that. So at 20 feet, what do you see? And that's where commitment comes in. Is God, allow me to see what you want me to see in this 20 feet or in this time of my life so that I can fully run with this. I've consulted with you. I need maybe extra pair of glasses. I need something, maybe even an operation in order for my eyes to see what you want me to see. What does God have to come and cut away? Where is he calling you into the community to say, play a bigger role? serve there, encourage there. And that's what today is about. It's for us to, it's for God to come, for the Holy Spirit to come and roll away the identity that the enemy stole from us. Because our identity is not formed by man, but it is who we are in Christ. So I guess my question for this morning is, are we committed to the Lord on our terms or on His terms? Do we want to know first before we go? Or are we willing to embark on this journey and saying, Father, You know what's best for us. You know what we can and can't do. And that's a song that I woke up to this morning. It's a song that I had in my, I just started listening to it, and I couldn't get over the words. And I listened to it. I found every version that I could of this song this morning, of a song that can that lasted for 28, then 15. And I replayed the first one, and I replayed the second one, because that promise of who God is in my life continues to sink in the more I hear and sing the song. And what's those words? He's a way maker. He's a promise keeper. He's a miracle worker. Even when I don't see it, He's working. And even when I don't feel it, He's working. He never stops. God never, ever stops working in your life. Because He will fight right until the bitter end. No matter what you think or what you do, He will fight until the very, very last second to have you close to Him, to reinstate the relationship. Hey, isn't that wow? Isn't that something to hold on to? But we need, from our side, we need to do a couple of practical things. We need to circumcise the things in our life that's not supposed to be there. We need to be part of our community. We need to commit to that. And I want us to end off with a song this morning. We're going to play it, and the band can just sort of halfway come up, and we're going to switch all the lights off. And I want you to use this time this morning. Don't think of anything else, but just think of the words of the song saying that, you know what? God, I want You to be my way maker, my promise keeper, my miracle worker. And I want You to close Your eyes. I want You to make this song as if God is sitting in front of you this morning and making a promise to you again, saying, this is who I am to you. And when you get to that point of realization, of just, wow, that moment where you realize, you know, Lord, wow, I feel You. I'm with You on this one. Then I want you to start thinking and trusting God that He will reveal to you maybe something that you need to cut off. Maybe something or someone that is on your heart, that has been on your heart for a while, that you need to engage with. And I'm not saying go and evangelize that person. Hit him with a Bible and all sorts of YouTube clips and songs and what. I'm saying you need to have a conversation. Talk about Braaivleis. Talk about this. But just open up some way for you guys to connect. And you need to commit to that. And I trust that when God reveals that to you, that you are going to stand up and that you are going to come to the front and say, Lord, in your own words, this is what I'm committing to. And please don't take it lightly. Don't make it an empty thing where you just fill up the glass this morning because I've asked you to. If you're not in that place, there's no judgment. But if you're not in that place and you say, listen, I need help to get there, come to the front. Take that step, because that's an action. You know, we very easily, we can put things in our mind. We can put it here. We can say, Lord, I'm going to commit to this. I'm going to commit to this. But the moment that you stand up and you take that step, you say, okay, whoa, there's a couple of eyes on me now. That's fine. But Lord, this is what I commit to. Then we get to that place of saying, Lord, now we are held accountable in our own hearts and our own minds. And this is what we want to give you this morning.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.